Rose Perks is brought to you today by Michelle McKibben, who is a California mortgage loan officer with People's Home Equity Mortgage. And you can email her for more information at McKibben, McKibben, Michelle@yahoo.com.
Hello and welcome to the Rose Pricks Podcast, the podcast about the idiots of The Bachelor. I'm Ronnie from Watch What Crappens, and I'm here with Stephanie Wilder Taylor from For Crying Out Loud, The Sword and Scale Rewind. Hello, Steph.
How are you, Ronnie?
Good. How you doing, little sweet lady?
I'm so good. I really enjoyed last night's Bachelor episode.
I did too. I love them all. I mean,
there was a lot to like.
There was, and a friend of mine told me, if you just don't focus as much on the dates, you'll have more fun. And I've really taken that to heart. I mean, the dates, as everyone knows, is when I make my potatoes or whatever dinner I'm making. And it's turned into a really good night. You know, it's like, okay, date. It's singles date. I can just listen to this while I cook.
Exactly.
Working out great for me. I just wanted to say real quick, everybody, thank you to everyone who's supporting us on El Patreon.
Yes.
That is where you go to get all the bonus episodes. Last week's bonus was for everybody, so you all got that. But that was the Corinne scandal, the Corinne and DeMario scandal. And the other bonus episodes are just us talking shit. And when we're not doing this, we usually like talking about more serious stuff. So today we talked about therapy, addiction, and crazy-ass people that you got to cut out your life.
Toxic. It was the toxic.
Yeah, toxic. It was the
toxic. The theme would have
episode.
Been Britney Spears' song, Toxic.
Yeah, so if you are into that kind of stuff, just go listen on Patreon. You can do that for as little as a dollar, okay? And thanks to everybody who supports us there. So here, we've had a whole week off, Steph. Do you feel well rested?
Kind of do.
I do,
but
too.
But being a podcaster, there's no rest. There's no real rest.
Girl, at least I get to sit down all day.
But you know what? It doesn't feel like work.
Yeah, it's fun.
You know what's funny? And this leads us right into the episode. But just having that 1 week off, I completely forgot what was happening on the show. I mean, I could have told you a few people, and this could just be because I'm, you know, old and forgetful. But it was like when you haven't heard a song in a while and you completely forgot how it goes. And then you hear it and you go, I love this song.
Yeah.
It was like that. Like the episode started and I was like, who's this guy? And I'm like, oh, it's Eric.
Yeah, it's like riding a bike. It's riding a bike, a really vulnerable bike.
It's emotionally fragile man boy, Eric. And I'm so happy to see you, Eric.
Eric. Okay, Eric talk like that. He's like, hey, guys.
Last week, we talked so much about Eric, because that was when he went really crazy. He's like, why are you trying to say that? You know, my name is in your mouth. My name is in your mouth. What's my name in your mouth? Get my name out your mouth. And last week, we were talking about him, and I was like, I know he has a very specific voice. Why can't I do the voice? And then I saw it last night, and I realized,
he's just Erica Jane from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yes.
Without that part. Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. So when I saw nasal talking Eric, I was so happy.
He's like, listen, I'm going to be who I am and just focus on you. Do you. I'm going to do me.
You do you. I'll do me.
Yeah. So Rachel's like, it didn't start with this, right? Oh, I guess we started where we left off, where it's all dramatic. And Rachel's walking around in that heavy ass jewel dress. And every time she moves, it's like an old man at a bus stop shaking the change in his pocket. You know, she's like, clink, clink, clink. Clink, 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 clink. Tonight has been about Eric drama, and now I'm really seeing the jealousy come out of these guys. And then you see Tickle Monster come in. Hi!
Yep.
And then Rachel goes, I can only imagine the testosterone they're all feeling. Editors. Intercutting Tickle Monster with the testosterone comment. Love you guys.
It's some really good Lenny and Squiggy editing going on in this episode. There's a lot of, you know, hello. There's a lot of, and you're the worst person on the planet. And then suddenly you just see Lee. Hello.
Lee is a little squiggy.
Oh, yeah.
He's like
with
a little
hair.
Yeah, he's a little weathered squiggy. So then it cuts back inside to Eric doing the, my name is in your mouth, so it must be about me. You talking about me? My name is in your mouth, it must be about me. And tiny little Lee, I'm just calling him Tiny in my notes. He's like, wow, you're sure? Whoa, look at you. Wow. And Eric's like, you gonna apologize? You gonna apologize to me? They don't ever talk to me again. Ever talk to me again. Like, okay, you need to just calm down. You can't be in church every time you're yelling at somebody, because you're just making this guy is gaslighting you on purpose.
Oh, yeah. I decided that Lee reminds me of, like, a little Jeff Sessions. It's just racist and little and elfish, elfian. And it looks like somebody built a sandcastle on his head. What, his hair gets higher and higher and more pointed every time you see him.
Actress Davis. I'm trying to think of this little actress. She's a little tiny woman. I thought her name was Linda Davis.
Oh,
but it's not. What is her name? She was in like 80s movies. She was in, I think, The Incredible Shrinking Woman. Let me see. The Incredible Shrinking.
Yeah, is it Ann Davis? She has the same name. Ann.
The Incredible Shrinking Woman, IMDb. How does The Incredible Shrinking Woman only have 2.5 stars on IMDb? That is disgusting. I'm so upset. Let me see here. Elizabeth Wilson, Mark, blah, 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 Pamela, blah, blah. I'm sorry I'm looking for this. I'll find it for next week. And if anybody knows who I'm talking about, please come on Facebook and tell me. She's like a small actress. She's always an old... I think she's only been an actress when she's an old lady. She's really tiny. And she always plays some weird role. And that's who Lee looks like. He has her same little tiny old face.
I know who you're talking about, too.
Damn it. We'll remember this at some point. I'm sorry to make everybody crazy, but I can't be Googling all day right now. So, anyway, he's terrible. He's also blatantly drunk through this whole thing. He gets drunker and drunker, and his face gets redder and redder. And his hair just keeps trying to make its way up to Jesus, girl.
And he keeps doing this. He has this new thing where he goes like,
oh, it doesn't like even make any sense.
I don't.
Yeah, he just looks at the camera and he goes, okay.
What is he doing?
I don't know.
So he goes outside. So Kenny is having his special time, which I love that they call it his one-on-one time. Like, they're all just entitled to. I was having my one-on-one time that I signed up for. I signed up for my one-on-one time. That's my one-on-one time. I don't even know how that works.
Well, so, we've got old Moana over there. Okay, right. Moana, the biggest bitch of this show. That guy's too much of a bitch to even be a doorman. So I don't know what he's going to do at that size. I have a feeling he's not good at sports. He ain't going to be a doorman. You better figure something out, Moana, you fucking bitch. That guy's terrible.
He's
over there sweating, and he's like, Eric, what is your ideal outcome? And Eric's like, hey, Moana, you've been dragged through the mud? You've been dragged through the mud? Yeah, I've been dragged through the mud. So, okay, I've been dragged through the mud. So, you do you, I do me. I do me, you do you. And Lee's like, I'm not willing to make peace, okay? I'm not willing. I'm just going to have a problem with some of these guys. And you know what I say to that? That's what I say. That's it. That's it.
Right.
So Lee interrupts. Okay. Are you at the interrupt time when Kenny goes out?
Yeah, so Kenny is talking to Rachel. And he's like, listen, baby. He's like, I got, you know, I'm traveling. You know, I'm a traveling man with my wrestling schedule. But you're
with
special.
That whole wrestling,
you know, you're special.
Circuit.
I'm gonna tell you something. I can manipulate my traveling wrestling schedule. And she's like, oh, that's good. You know, I'm glad. Thank you for sharing that with me. And then Jeff Sessions is just like outside. He's like, I'm gonna go bust up their special time. I can't wait.
So he comes over and he's like, brother, you're close with me. You know, we're real close. But I really need to talk about something with Rachel. Really, really bad. And I know we're close. But brother, please. I was like, if you call him brother one more time, I swear to God, he's going to get a folding chair out and he's going to bury you with it. And nobody will convict his ass. Okay, Jeff Sessions? So the wrestler goes, can I just get 60 seconds here? I was just telling her about how I made it from Arizona to Texas on a Southwest flight for a wrestling convention. So maybe 60 seconds. And Lee's like, okay, but I'm going to count. I'm going to count. So he goes to the side and he starts finger counting really big while he's laughing at the same time.
One. What's going on with him?
I hate him. Okay. I hate him.
Yeah.
So he's over there counting big. But, you know, Kenny doesn't have shit to say anyway. He's over there telling Rachel, he's like, you know, wrestling, that's hard on your body and you got to see the finish line. And so now that I'm not traveling as much, I have an ability to manipulate lines of travel. It's like, great. So now that you want to date someone hot, you can change your schedule. But you couldn't for your daughter. That's really like what a mother wants to hear. A future mother. That's what she wants to hear, you know?
He's like, I'm going to put my travel schedule in a pretzel hold. And I'm going to take it down.
I'm going to be like that girl from Revenge. And I'm going to manipulate that schedule. That iCal's not even going to know what's happening to it. And Rachel's just nodding. And she goes, as her dress clinks, she's like, clink, clink, clink. Thank you for being open about that. Yeah. Rachel's like so grateful he was open about manipulating his schedule. So he comes back over.
He's like, normally I'm not this vulnerable about my traveling schedule, but you helped me take down my walls and express my vulnerability about my travel.
You helped take down my iCal walls.
So, okay. Then we see some guys that I barely remember. Dean and Blake, the model, they're all talking about Lee. And Dean is wearing a Hawaiian shirt under a suit jacket. Yeah. It's got a fucking pineapple on it. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Under a suit jacket.
Yeah.
And then they show somebody who I wasn't sure who it was because it was really quick, but they're wearing a purple and black zebra pattern jacket.
That's the Russian. Oh my God, that Russian guy.
He should have automatically had his roses taken away.
People like the Russian guy should just walk around naked. That's all anybody wants to see anyway. And that guy cannot dress. I mean, later in the episode, he's wearing like patterned work, you know, like chef pants. They're black with all these big, bright shapes on them. No. I know it's hard to find clothes to fit a body that gigantic, but you've got to make an effort. You cannot get by on that gorgeous face alone. So eventually we're going to have to go to dinner. Okay. So Lee finally gets over to her. All the guys inside. Dean, I think, is in the Hawaiian shirt because he's like, there's enough crazy motherfuckers in here. I don't even have to make an effort. Like, she's not going to kick me off. I'll just lay back here with my receding gums and enjoy the show, you know?
So Lee goes over and sits down with her. And then there's something about my grandfather. He got cancer right before he voted to keep segregation alive. And she's like, mm-hmm.
He got cancer from his racist hatred that was eating his heart. Yeah, this fucking guy. So and what a waste of a cancer story. I mean, this is a reality television show, people. Have you not learned how this is done? You wait. You wait until you think you're about to get kicked off. Then you wait for those dun 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 dun. My grandfather.
Yeah, but you can't use your grandfather. Too old. Got to keep it closer. It's got to be a brother, father, mother. Come on.
Also, he's trying to be like Robert Goulet while he does it. His hair is to Jesus. His face is red. He's holding a damn full scotch on the rocks or whatever. And he's like, hey, so Rachel, my grandfather. Now, this is kind of sad. He got cancer. She's like, oh, wow. And he goes, and this knife? She's like, he gave it to me. And I did something with it for you. Okay, he's gotten a piece of, like, just a regular piece of inside wood, you know? It's like a 2x4 or whatever, like a piece of 2x4. And what did he even inscribe on it? Her name?
I don't know.
They didn't show it. It was probably, like, you know, the N-word or something. This guy's the worst. So he inscribes something on it, like, really crudely. You could just tell it was a word. And he's like, here's a 2x4 or something. And she's like, wow, that's my adjective. And I was like, what? What is your adjective? I wish you saw it, damn it.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
What he inscribed on the wood, the word he said, and she said, "That's my adjective." And it's probably like vulnerable or something. And then Lee says, "Well, I'm here to pull Rachel's heartstrings, and that means I have to cut 30 others so I can pull hers." It's like, just please sit down.
I know. Then I thought, in my opinion, it got worse because then Brian, the chiropractor mouth kisser, goes over and sits with her. And it was like a parody. It was like an SNL sketch about The Bachelorette. He's like, he just opens with, "I want to talk about vulnerability. And I want you to be vulnerable with me. How do you talk about vulnerability? I want to talk about a fear of mine, which is about vulnerability, because of the vulnerability I feel is igniting a fear." Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Yeah, I have that fear, the vulnerability fear."
Yeah. Let's what the
vulnerable.
Hell?
Let's vulnerable together. Then he's like, "I want this to be," she's like, "but what if, but I'm scared about the vulnerability." And he's like, "But the vulnerability is going to be our fairy tale, because when you're weak, I'm strong. And when I'm weak, you're going to be strong. Vulnerable, scared, but vulnerable.
When
but
you're blind, I'll see. When you miss a leg, I'll gain a leg. When you're using two hands, I'll use one. When you go to sleep at night, I'll go to sleep in the day. When you're fat, I'll leave you. You're my future, and that's all I care about until you get fat." And she's like, "Oh my God, you're so charming. You're so charming. You're like Prince Charming. And it makes me wonder what's going to happen in real life, you know? You can't be this charming in real life." And he's like, "I am." And then he's like, "Blah, blah, blah." That, he's the hard kisser, and I can't.
Yep.
This is how a chiropractor who makes his living throwing your back out kisses you, okay? It's like he's
trying to give her jaw an adjustment.
Yeah, he's beating her mouth with his mouth. She's like, "Ow, my neck." And he's like, "Ding, score! Someone needs some chiropractic."
But here's what I don't understand about this show. So he walks away, and the camera's on Rachel, and she's like, "Brian was a breath of fresh air. Because we talked about vulnerable feelings." Then you're like, "Wait, so she liked that? Then I don't get this show."
Well, she's making him do it. I mean, my favorite line of hers all night was, "I'm going to tell you about a fear of mine, being vulnerable." Shut up. So Dean, back
by the way,
inside,
we're only like 5 minutes into the episode.
I know,
right
but
now.
We can skip the dates. So Dean is, this was so good though. This was where all the good shit was. So Dean is talking shit to the guys, and Dean hates this little Lee guy now. And he's right. The first one. He's like, "That guy's a bitch. Okay, that's it. He's a little bitch, and I hope someone punches him in the face, you know?"
Yep.
And so the guy with cum bangs from Something About Mary, Blake or whatever,
right.
His cum bangs are still sticking straight up. And he's like, "You know, here's the thing. People come from different places, and everyone has weird quirks." And then the bobblehead guy goes,
"Some people's quirks is they just don't like black people. And some people's quirks is that they don't like hot sauce."
Nobody said
everybody's
quirks.
Everybody's different. Quirks. Everybody's quirks.
Everybody's got quirks. Weird quirks. And then the bobblehead's like, "Do you mean quirks?" And Dean's like, "No, quirks go in a bottle." And Blake is like, "Yeah, quirks." And then Dean's like, quartz? And he's like, "Yeah, quartz. Like crystals?" "No, quartz, like the watch. Like the watch." And he's like, "I think it's quirks." And then Banks goes, "Quartz."
Oh,
wow.
Man.
So then the wrestler's talking about Lee with all the guys. And wrestler takes Lee. He's like, "Come on, let's talk." And he puts his hand on his shoulder, which I was like, "Don't even touch him. Because if you do that, he's going to be like, he grabbed me, you know?" So he takes him outside, and Lee's like, "Oh, here we go. What the hell?" And he says, "Well, obviously you want to say something, so just say something. Just say something." And he goes, "Can you let me talk, please?" And then he's trying to gather his words so he doesn't just grab him by the hair and start slamming him against the wall.
Right.
And he goes, "Well, get to it."
Oh, I was looking at Kenny like, please punch him in the face.
And Dean's inside like, I'm on Kenny's side. Punch him! Punch him! So the wrestler, he can't just say, stop interrupting me and stop being a little bitch and whatever he needs to say. He just says it in such a stupid way. He's like, here's where we're at. You took advantage of our friendship to snake me to get more time with Rachel. I'm like, Kenny, that's not even the issue, Kenny. And he says, huh? And he goes, you did it, Lee. You did it. And the elf is like, so yes, we do make cookies. My brother and sisters do live in the tree still. I moved to the city, but I come to oversee their cookie making. And Rachel's like, wait a minute. Someone's yelling. And he's like, I've been yelled at. One time I burnt one of those little vanilla sandwich cookies. My grandma almost slammed my head into the ground.
The elf is like, my ears are tingling. I think I hear it too.
It's like, whoa, my toes are curling up. I'm just kidding. They were already like that.
Rachel's like, I can't wait to get away from you for a second. So you stay right there. And I'm going to go because I hate drama. So let me see what's going on.
So meanwhile, then Kenny's going, I'm emotional because I thought you were my friend. It's like, Kenny, you're never going to be a lawyer. Okay. And then Lee just goes, well, you know what? I'm getting curveballs. Curveballs. And the wrestler goes, do you understand? And he goes, not really.
So then is this where Rachel starts melting down for I didn't understand why, which they ran it in the previews a bunch of times and then it still came out of nowhere. Like those guys are arguing like we've seen drama before between people. And all of a sudden Rachel's like, I'm really disappointed in the behavior of the men. And there's a lot of pressure. I'm a black woman. I don't know if anybody's noticed right now. But I'm black.
Well,
I'm going to get judged for my decisions. And I know what people are going to say about me. I'm just honestly confused.
And they're going to judge me for the decision I'm making. And I have to be the one to deal with it. And you don't understand. And the producer, she just keeps saying, you don't understand. And the producer goes, yeah, I don't understand. I really don't.
She's like, yeah, you don't because you're not black.
And then she like just closes her eyes like she's falling asleep in the chair. And I was like, that's the best way to avoid an argument. Just close your eyes and pretend it's not happening. And then I didn't understand what she was talking about either because I understand what she's talking about, the pressure and stuff like that. And every little decision is going to be judged and because she's the first. And I get that part. But I don't know what decision she was making that was going to make them judge that, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Like, well, I was try to figure it out. I'm like, well, what are people going to say? That she got rid of the white guys, that she got rid of the black guys, that because she's black, there's more drama. I mean, there's just as much drama there's more drama and better drama with the white contestants.
Well, I get that she's just super sensitive because everybody, it's like the girl can't go on any show or do anything where people aren't like, wow, you're the first black bachelor. I mean, Chris is still patting himself. He's like, guys, gather around. The first black bachelorette is getting ready to come out and give a rose. It's like they're always, they're patting themselves. All the white people are patting themselves on the back for it, you know? And then every interviewer is like, what is it like to be black and a bachelorette? And it's a lot of pressure. I get that. I just don't know what situation she's talking about. Like, what decision? She's like, I would lay here in my coin dress and just be quiet. And I like when gay model, or I don't know if he's gay, but that hot model guy, he's like, listen, Rachel, I understand you're upset. And I just want you to know, I'm avoiding groups. It's like, okay, well, that's nice, you fucking bottom. It's like, what? Like, I'm not going to let myself be passed around tonight just for you. And she's like, thank you, because I'm sacrificing a lot. It's like, okay, whatever. So then we come back from commercial, and the guys are talking, and the head bobble guy suddenly decides to speak a lot this episode, right? I'm like, why are you talking? Stop bobbling your head. It's making me nervous, you know?
Which one?
The guy who can't stop bobbling his head with all the freckles on his face.
Oh, the elf.
No. Elf is Big Jaw. I forget his name. Maybe I wrote it down. I think I just keep calling him Bobble, though. It's the one I'm always say keeps moving his head. It's like really smarmy. It keeps going like that. It's like he's on a... he's on a small pony going up a hill at all times. Like, his head is just bobbing like that. So anyway, he's trying to talk, but has nothing to say. He's like, guys, that situation was, I don't even know the words. I'm like, then please stop talking if you don't. So then we cut back to Rachel, and she's like, and the violins are like, doo doo doo.
Is this when Chris comes out to talk to her?
Yeah, and Chris comes out, and he's like, Rachel.
Like, I'm a facilitator, and you need some facilitating. So tell me what you want facilitated, because, you know, I get paid like $500 a day. So if you want some facilitating, let's do it. Let's get some facilitating going on.
He's like, she's, I can like, facilitate. Well, huh? I just got 3 blowjobs. From 5 different villagers in different villages. Okay? That's how much power I have. Okay? I know how to work Craigslist here, honey. So if you need anything, let me know. Diet Coke, jelly beans.
No rose ceremony.
Villager whatever porn. You want. Whatever you want. She's like, oh, rose ceremony. I can't do it.
Nope. And so Chris goes back out to the guys. And he's like, listen, guys. I'm about to do some facilitating. Okay? So Rachel, she's done. She's just over all of you guys, done. She knows who she wants to kick off, so we're going straight to the rose ceremony. And then the guys all act devastated. What? You don't get any more time with Rachel? How? What kind of a crazy twist and turn is this show? What are you doing to us? So much drama.
And Kenny's like, I didn't get my chance. You know, we were so... I decided that it was time to move our relationship to the next level because we formed a friendship and now it's time for the next level. I'm like, what, were you going to fuck her on the bench? Come on, Kenny. You already talked about your daughter. How much more wrestling scheduling does she really need to hear? Okay, it's okay, Kenny. It's okay. They're like, this isn't fair. They ruined it for us. So who does she kick out? Because I start skipping to okay. Hilton Head, so that's not right?
Okay, no. So there's a little rose ceremony drama where Lee is like, when I get a rose, and Kenny doesn't, he's gonna get all butt hurt. I don't care. I'm gonna stop the blacks from being able to vote by the time this show's done. All right,
you know, so, and for anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about with this little racist Lee fucker, go read the tweets that he are all over his timeline. I mean, he is terrible. He's a terrible, he's racist, ignorant little fuck. So go read this. So that's why we're making jokes. Hey, right, go ahead. Sorry, babe.
All right. So,
You know why I didn't know what happened? I was writing my notes in the Southern Charm Savannah thread. Okay. So back over there. So Diggy goes, okay, this is where this new thing in this episode starts. Diggy goes, after Straight to Rose was announced, Diggy goes, guys, that's heavy. It's really heavy that this is happening right now. And the weight of it. I mean, just the weight of it. And then he's like, this is nerve-wracking. So this is where everybody starts using the word heavy. Now, for the next 2 hours, we're going to hear heavy and weight about 9 million times.
Yeah.
Do I just hear that because I possibly need to lose some weight because I'm too heavy? Possibly. It might be my own insecurities. But I don't think so because I'm going to do a word search on weight and tell you how many times I wrote it down. Weight.
Well, since you were hyper-focused on weight, I will tell you who got kicked off, which I thought was very strange. So Diggy of the bow ties and 500 pairs of Imelda Marcos's collection of shoes.
I know, poor thing. He's like, I should have worn my Sally Jesse Raphaels for this ceremony. Damn it. I relied on the standard tortoise shells.
Blake the model is gone.
Well, I mean, Come Hair.
Yeah, and Come Hair and the elf.
And the elf. Yeah, I know. Elf, you know, I feel like the elf should stay because he won at wrestling, and that's really tough for a cookie maker.
It's true.
Also, who kicks off elves? She's like, I don't care if any toys are made for Christmas. This is a lot of pressure, guys.
I couldn't believe she didn't kick off the guy, the kind of balding older guy.
The construction worker guy. Yes. Yeah.
Why is he still there?
I don't know.
She's not attracted to him.
I don't know, but he has a job, you know. I mean, at this point, it's like, he has a job. I think that says a lot on this show.
So Rachel makes a toast to leaving the drama and negativity behind, which is exactly what the producers want, right?
Rachel. Yeah, which is why they made her keep Lee.
Yeah, so then Rachel, they go to Hilton Head, and there's a shot of Rachel on a boat looking like she's dressed to go out to a club. She's wearing like a dress and a white leather jacket.
I loved her posing on the sailboat. Yeah. She's like, wow, look at the water. The wave of vulnerability washes over the waves of vulnerability. The heavy weight of the ocean and the vulnerable. I just like that there's a place called Hilton Head, because, I mean, that's how Hilton got famous in the first place, you know? It's almost like a whole town dedicated to Paris's blowjobs.
So the guys sit around, and they're mad because Dean gets the one-on-one. And Eric is upset about it. And Lee is upset about it. And then Rachel and Dean go out for their one-on-one. And there's a blimp ride.
I can't wait to show her that I'm more than just a smiley guy. Smile. Huge smile. Huge intense smile. Now, Dean has some gum issues because his teeth, you don't even see his gums because he smiles really tight and then you just see his white teeth. By the way, Dean is adorable, so please don't think I'm taking away from Dean. But my whole time I'm thinking, what is wrong with Dean? Why is he smiling like that? Is it Adderall? Is it roids? He doesn't look like he's on roids, but what's with the intense, like, Joker smile, you know? So
I don't know. I think maybe his teeth are just too big.
No, because they look normal. They look normal sized. Maybe cotton mouth. I don't know. But then what causes that? I started going into this whole thing. So then they go on this date. They go on a picnic, blah, blah, blah. And then a blimp passes by. And she's like, oh, my God, how heavy. The weight of that blimp. And it says, hi, Rachel and Dean. Good luck falling in love and making babies, even though you don't really know each other, or whatever it says.
Yeah.
And she goes, as a kid, I had a fascination with blimps. I would go out there with my brother and sister, and we would say, bimp, 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 bimp.
It was the dumbest story I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So then when they find out they're going on the blimp, she's like, bimp, 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 and they laugh uproariously. It's like probably the cutest story ever told on The Bachelor.
That is like the cutest. And he goes, I'm a little bit scared of blimps. I mean, my gums just receded another inch. I'm terrified. And he goes, you know, Rachel, I think one reason we get along is because we're both people who like doing things that scare us. Like,
yeah, we're both vulnerable, vulnerable, daredevil, vulnerables.
What a brave guy. You got on the blimp.
So they're on the blimp and they make out, blah, blah, blah. And back at the house, the blimp floats by kind of close. And Eric, the man boy, is like, yeah, like just to see that. Wait, well, I got to do the nasal voice like you do. To see that just clarified my feelings about my suspicions about how I was feeling.
Yeah, I wanted a blimp. I asked for a blimp. Why didn't I get a blimp? You know, that's all I asked for was a blimp, you know. But see that? I mean, it clarifies my thoughts about blimps, you know. And it clarifies how I'm feeling. So, you know, blimps.
And when Dean got the date also, he went off on a little Eric rant. He's like, well, you know, I wanted a one-on-one, and I'm surprised I didn't get the one-on-one. Because when we talked, I said I wanted a one-on-one. So I thought I was going to get a one-on-one because I said I wanted one, but I didn't. And you know what? I didn't. And so that means that I just got to sit on the bench and wait.
And they're like, oh, Eric. You're growing up. He's like, yeah, grown up. That's what I said.
So I love that guy, Eric, by the way. I hope he makes it all the way to the end.
Yeah. So then we find out who gets the group date, and everybody, bobblehead is Jack.
Jack Bobble. Yes, yeah, that's what I wrote.
Jack. He's so
so smarmy. Yeah.
He's the worst. Oh. I hate him the most. He's so smarmy, so fake.
He's like, the whole time I've kept my blinders on, but my blinders fell off because my head keeps moving. My blinders don't. Then before you know it, my blinders are hitting me in the chin and then the forehead. So I'm blaming the blinders.
So back at dinner with Rachel, I have a note here that I wasn't loving her tuxedo top. I don't know. Whoever's dressing her, she was really cute in the last episode, but this one not as much. So then Dean tells a story about his mom dying, and it was very sad.
Okay, I cried because
I teared up too.
First off, Dean is so nice.
He is nice.
I would just love to be like, you know what? Put some Vaseline on your gums, and then let's make out. But he's so nice. And his story was not a reality story. Because, like we said earlier, the reality stories are like, well, when I was a boy, my mom... And it's like this huge like monologue that people save up for the right moments. Right. And then they milk it. And it's disgusting to watch, usually. This was not. It was like really sad. And I don't think he even planned on saying it. And when he said, that's the first time I've really ever talked to somebody about it, I believed him. Because it didn't sound made up at all.
I know. I did too, but it was still weird. Because why is the first time saying it with all the cameras around? I know. It was sad because...
I think he probably was just going to be like, you know, my mom passed away and that's it. Because that part, when he started it sounded kind of like the normal lines. Like,
right.
Well, you know, what was your growing up like? And he said, well, it was a little rough because, you know, my mom passed when I was young and then blah, blah, blah. And she goes, wait a minute. How did it happen? And so he started saying, oh, my God. The story, seriously, I was sitting there crying, and I even wrote, like, I'm crying. Like, that's in my notes. It's like, I hate crying.
He said that she got breast cancer when he was 9, and I was sitting, last night Elby was at a sleepover at her friend's house, so I was just sitting with my 9-year-old twins. So that was rough.
Eesh. Well, yeah. she got breast cancer when he was 9. She came to pick him up from school, and he found a book in the seat that said how to deal with breast cancer or something. And he's like, Mom. And she's like, I have to tell you something. And it was like 2 years and she went into remission and everything was great.
When he was 11. Yeah. She went into remission.
Yeah. So she went into remission. Everything was great. She was back to normal. And then boom,
14. He was 14.
She got it again. And then she was in hospice, but he didn't really know what hospice meant. And so he was used to, you know, he'd been through it before, so he just figured she'll be okay again. It's just a matter of time. So he said, when are you coming home this time? And she said, never. Oh, my God.
I know.
Why am I even talking about it? I'll start crying.
Then when the really sad part was that nobody ever helped him deal with it, because he said basically that his siblings were older. They moved out. And then his dad was hardly ever home. So from 15... which would have been right after she passed away, to 18, nobody was ever home.
Yeah, right after he lost his mom. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's just alone. All right, so moving on.
But he is ready to have a family, which all the boys are like, he's not ready, he's too young. But I have to... Oh, and this is also why I brought up the gum thing. Because I said that's why his gums aren't there, because he's tried to smile so hard for so long, you know? And then I started crying at my own stupid gum joke. So then Dean goes, you know what, Rachel? This was a weight off my shoulders. It was a weight. It was a heavy weight. And I was like, okay, now you're ruining it with more weight talk. I'm going to make popcorn. So then I made kettle corn. It was amazing. And I wrote, surprise, a useless band, Russell Dickerson, and an angry bald fan who refuses to smile.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. How did they get Russell Dickerson, by the way? I mean,
Who is that? Is that famous? Is he famous?
No, I was being sarcastic. Oh. Russell Dickerson.
I ride a Jeep and you're my little sweetheart.
I mean, if there's one thing African American lawyers love, it's country music. So back on the group date, some stuff happens. Josiah wants to show how many push-ups he can do with Rachel sitting on his ass. And then they do some rapping. And Kenny does a rap, and I thought it sucked. And then Peter does a rap, and he's like, well, rhymes with fart. Something. Yeah, fake is a fart. And Rachel's like, oh, my God. I had no idea. You are amazing at freestyle. What? Okay. Now, this is my time, because this is where I really came alive. They have a bachelorette spelling bee. And Iggy starts it off by saying, yeah, Iggy, Moana. Moana's like, the way I protect Rachel's heart is by spelling. You know, that's what I'm like, a bouncer for her heart when it's spelling. I need to do fantastically well. And then he spells out fantastically incorrectly. And somehow they rounded up like all the people in the town. Apparently there's nothing exciting to do in Hilton Head. So they all came out for a spelling bee. And they're all white, by the way.
And old, all, it was like a bunch of old white people. It was like a retirement community.
Right.
It was basically a Food Network audience.
Yes.
You know, when they showed like live things on the Food Network.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, get on the bus, honey. We'll give you some lunch. And they're like, all right, what are we clapping for? Who cares? Just clap. If you want your tortilla sandwich, you're going to clap. They're like, yeah.
So they clap for everything.
Yeah.
And then Eric's diet.
I was not expecting a spelling bee. I mean, maybe a wet t-shirt contest, but a spelling bee? Like, maybe wet t-shirt.
Love that guy.
Then Josiah's like, yeah, my intellect is on another level. Like, the detail and the intricacy of my intellect. And Sadie, one of my nine-year-olds, goes, ugh, even his trash talk is lame, which I thought was hilarious.
This but made me love Josiah, by the way. This whole scene made me fall in love with Josiah. So I'm thankful to you, Spelling Bee, because I love that guy.
So Tickle Monster spells caress correctly. And then Kenny, I mean, there's other words in here. I'm not going to go through all the words, but this is, honestly, I had a real problem with this. Because all the guys are dumb. Okay, so Kenny spells champagne incorrectly. But I believe that he actually knew how to spell it. Because he mixed the G and the N around. And then he even said, he goes, oh, I should have known, champagne. Like, yeah. he made this sort of, like, how he sort of implied that he knows how to spell it. So I felt bad for him. But then Eric gets the word facade and spells it P-H-Y-S-D-E. I'm sorry.
Well, what about Moana? Moana, they gave him boudoir, and he spells Bordeaux.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, I don't know, this shit is French, so I'm going to throw in some E's and some U's and some X's and hope for the best.
And then Peter had to spell coitus.
This was honestly one of the most disappointing moments in the show, because heretofore, I've been on Peter's side. I think he seems intelligent. He seems really nice. He's a very cute. And he's very charming. And then he spells coitus Q-U-I-C-U-I. And I was like, I'm out. I mean, honestly, Rachel's kind of like smiling like, oh, that's kind of cute. How are you an attorney and you're going to be with a guy who's like spells it Queequee?
Queequee. And when they said, can you say it in a sentence? And she's like, if you're lucky, you'll engage in coitus with the bachelorette. Ugh. Her dad is probably just like cutting his thighs as he watches this. So Josiah gets up there and he's like, hey, how's everybody doing? It's me, Josiah. And whenever there's Rachel, there's Josiah. There to shine. Stunning.
He's like, let me use it in a sentence. Don't you use it in a sentence. I'm going to use it in a sentence.
And I like that they started playing keyboard music, like Casio keyboard music. It's like, doon, doon, doon. And he's like, of all the women here tonight, Rachel is the most stunning. Stunning. S-T-U-N-N-I-N-G.
Yep.
He was so, making me laugh so hard.
Like, that's supposed to be impressive. That he could spell stunning. Right. I mean, both my nine-year-olds could spell that with no problem. But then, out of nowhere, Anthony gets boutonnier, which, who the fuck can spell boutonnier? Nobody can spell boutonnier. Boutonnier. Try writing that in your notes and then have spell check try to find it.
It was totally wrong. Hold on. I'm going to see what the real spelling is. Let me see if it'll tell me.
I'll tell you the real spelling.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
B-O-U-T-O-N-N-I-E-R-E. Who could possibly spell that?
Yeah, I didn't get it right.
Okay. But then somebody gets the word physiological, which is, that's not very hard.
Will.
And they spell it wrong, right?
He starts spelling psychological.
Yeah, so then Josiah has to spell polyamorous.
He gets back up on the mic. He's like, hey, y'all ready? Where y'all from? So funny. So yeah, polyamorous. And
just not that hard. And then Josiah's like, yeah, I'm going to tell you something about me. I'm loquacious and individual and sequacious. And I'm like, well, I don't get
it. I'm not interested in a polyamorous relationship. I'm only interested in a Rachel amorous relationship of loquacious. And Moana's like, he's annoying. I'm going to get him. So now Moana's mad. Why? Yeah. Because Josiah is charming. And Moana's a big, fat, sweaty loser. Okay? That's why. Moana.
Okay. So then Rachel goes to talk to Peter. And she is just raving about his freestyle. That's her takeaway. She's like, you know what was the biggest surprise of the day? Your freestyle. I was like, my biggest surprise was that he could spell coitus. That's a surprise. You're a lawyer, Rachel. Then she talks about whether or not she would move for a boyfriend. And I was like, and someone who can't spell, Rachel. He can't spell coitus. And then she's like, guess what? If we want to have coitus in Wisconsin, we can, because I'm licensed to practice law.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Hold on. I got, God damn it. I got all my notes fucked up. I've got Southern Charm Savannah notes in here. So I got rid of those. Oh, that's where loquacious, articulate, and I pride myself on my oratory skills. Okay, let me go down. Okay, so Kenny goes, every time I see Rachel, she's in a different environment, or she's in a different dress, or in a different hairpiece, or different eyelashes. And yes, Kenny, things change, you know? He's like, and I just want time to take it to the next level and get inside of her. Really understand her. Like, whoa. So Eric and Rachel, did you already say this part? Oh, so Eric gets so time with Rachel. So they hug and she's like, are you having fun? Like she's talking to a total, like a 5-year-old, you know? And he's like,
yeah, I have fun. Yeah, it's been great. She goes, I'm so glad you're having a better week. Because look, I'm not Rachel the Bachelorette or Rachel the lawyer all day, okay? I want to come home and chill. And he's like, oh, yeah, what's a typical day with you? Because I like to chill. Chill's great, you know? Like, I like refrigerators. They make things so chill. You can put, if you put cheese on the counter, it'll go bad. But if you put it in the refrigerator, it'll stay there for a long time. I mean, chill's good. I like chill. I like it. And she's like, well, when I come home, I like to pick up food, watch my Ratchet TV, and clean. He's like, yeah, I like clean, too. I like to keep it clean. Yeah, I like to keep it clean. And hugs and Pornhub, too. Yeah, we like all the same things.
And then they do a lot of this. Closed mouth kissing, because she's like, I'm going to have to let you go very soon, meek one. Okay? I'm either going to have to pull a end of that Lenny and... What is that book? Where she has to break the neck. He has to break the neck of his...
Mice and Men.
Yeah. Because he's very of Mice and Men, this guy. Like, clean.
I like it clean.
It's like, I'm going to have to break your neck soon. Yeah. So here's a closed mouth kiss for you.
And then and he's like, I love hugs. And he mauls her with his mouth and his emotions.
He's so cute when he starts smiling. I love him. Okay, so guys date Rose. Group date Rose, right?
Yeah, but wait. So I think this happens first. This is where Iggy starts acting like he's in the CIA, right? He's like, I'm going to go talk to Rachel, and I'm going to let her know that I've got a target on him. I got Rachel's back. I'm like her bodyguard.
I don't think he's right.
Here's what I do.
Rachel.
I identify people that we see on a regular basis because I identified him because he's not right for her. And what I do in my job is we identify a target and then we do a background because we need to protect. We need to protect our client. I don't know what he's up to, but our intelligence tells us that Josiah is a source of tension.
Yeah, he's what you do in your job is you make sure that people don't steal shit from the Ross. Okay, Moana? Stop pretending you're CIA. You are a loss prevention specialist, and we all know it. Sit your sweaty ass down in your thin polyester suit. And when he goes to her and tells her, we identified a threat from people you see on a regular basis. Okay, Miss President. Like, who the fuck are you, dude? And she goes, who do you question? And he said, Josiah. Because honestly, like, when Josiah's around you, like, honestly, he covers his insecurities with false sense of bravado, okay? And he secludes himself. Honestly, do I question myself whether or not one of those are the traits you look for? Honestly, I mean, that's up to you. Honestly, I'm like, shut up, you fat queen. Like, you're a big girl. She's not a lesbian, okay? She's not going for you. Sit down. Who thinks that's attractive? You know? Like, you're going to win by tattletaling. I fucking hate that on this show.
I know. Then my son Xander goes, is Iggy just Rachel's personal spy? Is that what he's doing on the show? Oh, you totally get it.
Yeah, he so could then, body, you know, he could bodyguard, I guess, but not he wouldn't even identify the proper threat. There could be some guy standing over there with the gun, but he would pick the one that's like cuter than him, you know.
Yeah.
Shoot that one.
So then it was kind of fun because Eric and Josiah team up to talk smack about Iggy. And they're like, "Yeah, that guy is on steroids." He's like, they basically accuse him of being like a roid rage addict.
Yeah. And so he comes in and he's like, "Hey, because Josiah is saying, I don't know, he's talking about the boat or whatever." So he's like, "Oh, wait, hey, Josiah. So I wanted to tell you, I had an honestly conversation with Rachel and, I said there's tension. There's tension in the house with Josiah. Kept it 100. Honestly, 100. Kept it honestly 100. And he goes, "What?" He goes, "Well, she asked me, you know." And I'm not saying it's, you know, your fault or her fault or, you know, honestly, I'm just saying, like, I said it was Josiah, you know. What the hell? And Josiah says, first it's Eric, you know, and right. Now it's me, which is, you know, on point. And he's like, "Well, she asked me about the tension and I just said that, honestly, your personality is honestly different when the honest lights go on, you know, honestly." And he goes, "Give me one example." And then Eric's like, "Personally, I think Moana's just a gossip queen, okay? Because at the last ceremony, you know, like, he did that, and now it's like he's a gossip queen." And he tells him, "Look, hey, Moana, look, at the last rose ceremony, I feel like you're always in the sauce of the mixing pot." "I can feel the energy shift, okay? And these guys, now they have to see Rachel, but her energy is different now because you talked to her. So now the energy shifted, and the sauce was one thing, and now it's a different thing. Now it's a heavy sauce. Now she got heavy sauce on her shoulder. She's going to be like, why this heavy sauce, you know? And it's they're like not going to understand sauce. Why. Yeah, she's going to have to take a nap. That sauce is heavy." And he's
it's
like, "Well, with all respect.
It's got too much cornstarch in it." And cream.
Yeah, and that's when Josiah's like, "Yeah, with all due respect, Moana's a bitch. And instead of focusing on his own lame self, he shoots steroids and he's a drug addict."
Yeah. And then I loved, even though I don't like Josiah, but then Josiah makes a good point to camera. He's like, "All right, so Iggy goes and tells Rachel all this shit about me. And then he thinks that it makes it okay because he tells me he did it." He's like, "What, do you want a cookie or pat on the back? Oh, thanks for letting me know. Thank you."
He feels
like,
"No, by
girl,
disclosing
why is a guy
his...
like that?" And this is where you get the Lenny Squiggy editing, because he goes, no girl wants a guy like that. And then it just cuts right to Lee.
I like that he said, he feels by disclosing his ratty, scratchy behavior, it nullifies his words.
Yeah. He's so like, Lee... "Look at me. I'm loquacious." She's not going to believe that about a loquacious fella like myself. Yeah. So then Lee's like, "I come off as positive, and a lot of people think that because I'm so positive and genuine, that some people even think that that comes off as disingenuous."
She's
because
like,
"I'm so genuine.
You know, last time you interrupted me, I heard yelling, and I didn't want to think about it because I was so impressed with the doorstop you made me." And he's like, "Yeah, well, that's because he was screaming at me. That's what you heard." And she's like, "But why was he screaming?" And he goes, "Because of that, because I interrupted." She said, "Just interrupting." And he goes, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "Please don't call me ma'am." And he's like, "Yes, ma'am. Okay." But, you know, and I just wrote, he's so red-faced and gerbil-eyed at this point. Die, I hate you, you racist fuck. Okay, so he was apparently making me very angry at that point.
He's like, "Rachel, now listen here, Missy." He's like, "The black people tend to interrupt a lot. You know that. You know, I'm just genuine."
Well, when
I'm just a genuine person, just being genuine with my feelings.
Well, she's not dumb, obviously, and can read behind the racist lines. Because when he said, "Well, then," an aggressive side came out. And when he said that word, you could see the lights go off behind her eyes. She was like, "Okay." And she nods. She's like, "Okay, Lee, okay. I hear what you're saying." So he's telling us, "Yeah, well, she heard him yell at me because it's what happened. Ticking time bomb." Boom. "And I knew he was a butthole because he didn't listen to me. And I'll tell him straight to his face what I say because he's a 22-year-old ballerina. Just being honest." Die. Yes. Please die.
Yeah. So then Rachel decides that she's going to go talk to Kenny because she's like, that's not the Kenny I know. Okay. And she sits down with Kenny, and then Kenny makes the mistake of doing a freestyle just for way too long, and it's super awk. And
I wrestle, and then I wrestle with my schedule. She's like, okay. And then it cuts to Lee going, I don't like Kenny. I will leave him in this miserable world. I pray for Kenny.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she asks him about the fight, Kenny about the fight. And he's like, well, I felt he was using our friendship to sneak in. And I went at him low key, but he gave me so much shade. And it was super disingenuous, which is the new word tonight also. Heavy disingenuous.
Yes.
And she says, well, he says you're aggressive. And then he's like,
yeah. And then he's like, well, but, you know, I mean, that, you know, I had to just like tell him all this stuff. And then Rachel's like, well, are you proud of yourself for how you acted? And he's like, no, I mean, I felt bad. What, you know? And then she's like, well, did you apologize? And he goes, I mean, we shook hands. And she's like, really? Then why would Lee come to me and tell me that Kenny's aggressive? And Kenny's like, because maybe Lee lies. Yep. Then we go to Lee and he's acting weird and doing more mouth clicks. And
he's like holding court at the bar everybody. With all the guys. Yeah. And he's like, guys, you know, that's just the game. And that's how it is. And, you know, guys, I wouldn't say bad things about you guys because I really like you. But if there's somebody bad here or aggressive, then they need to be taken down. And I will say it right to their brains.
Yeah. And then then they go to Peter and he's like, you know, Lee is disingenuine. And I was like, okay, first Queequee instead of coitus. That's how you spell it. That's how you spell coitus is Queequee. And now disingenuine. I can't with Peter anymore. I'm done.
Yeah. Peter just needs to be quiet. Yeah. Well, who needs him to be smart? He's so cute. I know I'm awful,
but she can't marry a guy who says things like disingenuine and can't even attempt to spell coitus. I'm not saying that somebody has to be a genius to be a nice person. And I know he's nice, but come on.
Well, look. You know, sometimes when you win a soccer game, you just want to put a trophy on your shelf and enjoy it. You don't need it to be good at dinner parties, you know?
I guess, but there's a difference between, listen, I feel like Peter really thought the word was disingenuine because right after that, Kenny's mad and he's like, I spent all this time trying to assuade her. And I was like, assuade? Okay. I think he meant like assuage. And persuade
everybody,
and he put it together and made a suede. And I'm like, that is fine because you were talking fast and you were upset and you used two actual good words and you just combined them together. But disingenuine,
that's
not a word.
Well, it's like bachelor talk, you know, everyone's so stupid on these shows. I love it. So the wrestler is really mad at Lee now. He goes, I'm big on body language, and hers was very much in Lee's corner, whatever that means. And he goes, Lee is alternative facts, okay? He's a reptilian piece of garbage, and I'm done. So he takes Lee aside again. He's like, me and you need a chat, bro. And he's like, OMG, now what? God. Like he wasn't just sitting there still talking about him, that little bitch.
Right, right.
So he takes him outside and Urkel's like, oh no, this is not good. He's just going to pour gas on that fire. I'm not getting involved, but I will watch at the window. Be right there. So Eric is like, uh-oh, that's egging somebody on. That's heavy. That's heavy water. You might drown in heavy water. What? Eric. Please win this entire thing. I love you. So the end is basically them about to have this talk. And then that's it, right? It says to be continued.
Well, so, yeah. It looks like Kenny's going to like get into a fight with Lee because they do scenes coming up and Kenny's got a bloody eye.
Yeah, but Lee's not going to hit him, so he must get hit in the head by, like, a fallen, you know,
branch.
Piece of wood from the sky or something, Lord knows.
And then, like, what, they're going to maybe have a boxing match or a wrestling match to, like, the best person wins? I don't know.
So stupid.
Yeah, it's
but
really dumb.
But so fun, and I'm really liking a bunch of the characters now. I really like Josiah now, and I really like Eric, and I love stupid Peter just because he's hot. And I genuinely love the guy with the dead mom, which I know sounds terrible to say, but I don't remember his name. And that was
Dean.
So, you know, it's hard to get me to feel things. So I was just thankful I cried. So thanks, Dean.
And guess what I heard, I just heard from Sarah Wolf, who is, I love her. I've met her in person. She's really pretty and really cool. And she's one of our listeners. And she says Bachelor in Paradise is resuming filming.
Oh, good. Well, I figured it would.
And it's going to air as usual.
Yeah, that just got so gross and ugly last week. And all these different stories were coming out. And I'm like, ugh, enough. Please, can we not talk about this? Let's go back to having fun. So yep. I'm glad they figured out how to keep it going.
Yeah, Bachelor in Paradise will resume filming.
Yeah, and they only shoot that for a few weeks anyway, so it shouldn't be that late.
Listen to this. Bachelor in Paradise will resume filming after Warner Brothers investigation finds no evidence of sexual assault.
Well, there you go.
Yep. All right.
That's good. Good. I'm glad that was taken care of like that. Did they quote Camille anywhere? Because Camille didn't blame Mario. She was just going to sue the producers for letting it
happen.
You
mean Corinne?
Corinne. God, yeah. I always call her Camille. Huh?
Well, I only correct you. I think it's kind of funny, but I only correct you because I get confused for a second whether you're talking about Camille from Real Housewives.
I'm just turning into a grandma really quickly.
I'm looking up Bachelor in Paradise really quick to see what the quote is. It's interesting how... It says Bachelor Nation reacts to Bachelor in Paradise being cleared of misconduct. So they can. That was a pretty quick investigation. So all that thing that, you know, that we talked about, the people that were giving the blow by blow description of that it was actually rape. Like, I guess not.
Yeah, that didn't sound right. Because that there was another article that was supposedly from one of the cameramen that was saying she kept passing out in the pool and it looked like DeMario was fucking her anyway. I'm like, that, and he was the only one who said fucking too. Like, it looked like he was on her, like doing it while she was passed out. That just did not sound right. I'm like, how could you be the only one out of all these people saying that? And then apparently a bunch of people stopped following her. A bunch of the cast members stopped following her on Instagram, which, of course, means everything in the world of The Bachelor. So who knows what's going on, but I'm glad the show's coming back.
Yeah, I wonder if it doesn't say anything about whether Corinne is going to go back. Probably not.
No, I'm sure not. Probably Corinne. Also, it'll be interesting to see everybody having to try and get along without being, or try and fuck while they're sober.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
People aren't going to be able to get that wasted now. They're like, okay, guys, you'll only get 6 wine coolers each tonight. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of another fun week. We will talk to you next week. If you want that bonus, just go over to rosepricks.com. Figure it out, y'all. We love you.
Yep.
Boy.
Bye.